Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
G'day folks, and welcome to Australian UFO Sightings official podcast. I'm your host Anthony Goodall, and you're listening to Encounters Down Under. Here we invite guests on the show to tell us about their encounters with aliens and UFOs, where most of our episodes were streamed live from our Facebook page, which gave listeners the opportunity to ask questions to our guests regarding their encounter. If you have had an encounter and would like to be a guest on the show, please get in touch with us. You can send us a message through our Facebook page, Encounters Down Under, or send us an email at AustralianUFOSightings@outlook.com.au. Be sure to join us on Facebook and share with your friends and family to help us grow, and hopefully encourage others to come forward with their encounter. If you're an iTunes listener and a fan of the show, why not give us that 5-star rating and review, and you could have your review featured on the podcast. But enough of that, let's get into what you've been waiting for. So kick back, relax with your favourite beverage, and enjoy the show. G'day folks, and welcome to another episode of Encounters Down Under. Martin joins us on the show to talk about an experience he encountered where he woke up paralyzed but could sense a strange presence around him and see these strange flashing lights outside. We also had a bit of audio issues during the first couple of minutes of this live episode, so we'll jump straight into it. So please welcome to the show, Martin.
No, that's all right. Yeah, and so, you know, you do your normal things. You're going there at work, you have your dinner and all that, and you go to bed at night and so forth. And I remember this night, it was April, May, and it was probably around 1997, 98, if I remember correctly. You know, there's a few things going on in my life, but, you know, a couple of major things. But I was there, and I was in bed, and you know, the crux of it, I was woken up in the middle of the night. I was there, I was on my back, and coming in through the window, right, because I had the windows open, you know, the curtains open, was just these flickering lights. And it was intense because it was sort of like welding flash. It was completely random, like welding flash, but it was coloured. It was red and it was blue. And I'm thinking it's, you know, maybe police, but I'm a little bit dazed at this time because it's just woken me up in the morning. I had looked at my clock. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I'm thinking, you know, what's going on here? And it just kept on continuing. And then all of a sudden, you know, I felt that I had turned over or I'd lost a piece of time. My mind had gone blank. I felt that there was definitely some sort of presence in the room, I couldn't explain any of it. It was freaking me out, and I was actually really paralyzed. I couldn't move a muscle in my body. And essentially this experience went on for somewhat of 20 minutes. I was certainly able to, you know, I wasn't asleep. My eyes are open, but I couldn't see anything. It was quite an amazing thing. And I looked at the clock again afterwards, and it was 2:20 a.m. And it really freaked me out. I didn't know what was going on. So I stayed awake for a little while, and I went back to sleep eventually. And I woke up in the morning, and I was having breakfast with family members in the morning. And I said, you know, what was happening down the street below last night? Was there some sort of, you know, something going on with the neighbours? I saw a police there. And they said, no, there's no police going on. There's nothing happened. So I couldn't really explain what was going on. It was, you know, the lights flashing and all that sort of thing. I thought it was police, you know, originally. So I sat down and I was reading the local newspaper, and they were saying that, you know, over a local suburb, that people saw lights flying around in the sky early in the morning. And that just sort of sealed it for me. I just went like crazy into sort of meltdown sitting there at the breakfast table, because, you know, I felt that this thing had happened. It wasn't just what I saw, it was how I felt, and it was just so intense, essentially. So, you know, that's my experience. And I just like to explain that and express it on the show, that it was short and sweet. I understand that, but it's I was there, I saw these things, these lights and so forth, didn't see any shapes or any beams or anything like that, but I was paralyzed. I could not move, and this whole thing lasted for about 20 minutes.
That's incredible. So you're laying there a whole 20 minutes with nothing really going on around you, or not that you could see, and just these flashing lights.
Yeah, well, the flashing lights were there, but I definitely felt that there was some other presence in the room. You know, I was on my back when I woke up, and then when I could sort of move and see again, I was on my stomach, right? I turned around. I mean, I thought, oh, no, I'm just being asleep. And I thought, you know, I was, you know, just sort of like sleepwalking, essentially. But it wasn't that. It was a totally different feeling. I felt like I was totally awake, but not in control of what I was doing.
That would have been absolutely scary.
Yeah, well, it was. I was petrified, especially with the paralysis of it. Now, I mean, I actually was so scared, Anthony, that I booked myself into a GP, and I thought, I've got to speak to someone about this. This isn't normal. I've got to see someone about this. I've got to talk to somebody about this. And, you know, even with the stigma as it was, you know, back in those days, you know, I just felt I had to do it to get my mind straight. You know, they had a lot of other, you know, scientific reasons for things going on, but, you know, they just couldn't explain it, and they couldn't explain what would happen, what had happened with the, you know, the newspaper reports the next day or anything like that. You know, it's, and to this day, you know, I feel it with, you know, with shivers down my spine when I think about it. But, you know, for me, who's a very, you know, engineering and a practical person, to actually go out and seek help because of this event, I'm telling you, it was no mean thing. It's not something that I would just brush off. I couldn't just brush it off. That's what I'm trying to say. It really had a distinct psychological effect on me.
Yeah, I imagine so. So, like, what were the doctors sort of trying to pass it off as? Like, did they come up with an explanation or?
Oh, well, they said, look, you know, it's sleep paralysis. And they said it's you know, PTSD from some sort of, you know, work stress or something like that. That's what they were trying to pass it off as, essentially. You know, people, and I've read up about sleep paralysis, that sort of stuff happens, definitely. But I definitely felt that I was really awake at that stage. I didn't feel that. I mean, when I woke up, I could move as well, right? Because I was there, and then all of a sudden I couldn't. Then all of a sudden I'm facing a different direction when I sort of become conscious again, even though I was sort of not unconscious, if you know what I mean. I was there but not there, and that's exactly how I felt, and that's what freaked me out the most about the whole thing. It was just a really eerie experience for me.
Yeah, I'm not really like educated on the whole sleep paralysis thing, but I'm not really sure if it actually even lasts that long, going for 20 odd minutes.
Well, that's right. I mean, your blood flow goes back to your body, doesn't it? Right. So, yeah. I mean, that's the sort of things that I was sort of questioning them about it, but they, you know, it was very difficult for them to, you know, say anything else, right? They're obviously going to come back with a very scientific sort of solution for what was happening to me. But yeah, I mean, I went through that, and I saw other doctors and so forth, which, you know, wanted me to go on to other sort of medicines and stuff like that, right? They're thinking that it was these other stresses in my life, but you know, I'm not that sort of a person. You know, people who know me know that doesn't affect me so much.
Yeah. So was this the only account that you've had as a sleep paralysis?
Well, no, I've had sleep paralysis before, but as you say, it lasts seconds. It doesn't last like minutes, like even 20 minutes. Like we're talking a third of an hour here.
Yeah.
And strangely enough, I've never had this experience again, or, you know, and never, you know, never thought about it. But it's always in the back of your mind, you know, whenever you, you know, alone in these sort of places, sort of stuff, you know. But yeah, I know it's short and sweet story, but it's something that I thought I could contribute to your show. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely fantastic, mate. Look, because it's a common occurrence there, like when people do sort of experience an abduction, that they do get some sort of feeling that might come over them first, and then possibly with the paralysis. But some people usually like either fall asleep straight away, or you know, get knocked out or whatever, or they can actually see beings coming up beside them and whatnot. So it's just strange that you could see nothing for the whole 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, my eyes were open, but I couldn't see anything, but I could feel it. I don't think I was moved. I don't think I went everywhere, but I was just like, I was still where I was. But it's just, I don't know, it's such a sensation that it's so hard to express in words without it seeming like it is like a paralysis type thing. But I assure you, it went on for 20 minutes.
Yeah, it sort of gave me thinking that, what's happening here? Like, you're seeing the lights going on, and part of me is like got a bit of an idea that, well, to speculate anyway, that it's to stop you from getting curious and going up to the window to see what's actually going on, where they could be possibly abducting someone else next door or in the area.
Could well have been. I don't know. It's sort of, I mean, you know, the word you could use to describe it is sort of like hypnotic. I mean, it was just that random thing that catches your eye, and that mixture of the different colours. It sort of was random, but with purpose, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, absolutely. That's like when you contacted me there in regards to Kim's experience there, saying that you could relate to his. For those who haven't listened to the Kim's episode there, he was down in Tasmania.
Yeah.
And he had a bright light coming through his room. He sort of tried to get up, but he had an overwhelming sensation that he just couldn't do anything, just with an overwhelming fear.
Yeah, so that's not what I had, but I could relate to what he was talking about. I just couldn't move, Anthony, you know, and it was like I could see that he was, when I heard about his episode, that he was sort of literally rooted in his footsteps. I was literally, you know, I was literally paralyzed. There's nothing I could do about it. So maybe you're right that it is something like that. But, you know, I just can't explain then the presences that I felt in the room at the time. You know, and it's so good to get it out in this sort of forum, because you speak to people about it, even your close relatives and, you know, parents and so forth. And, you know, they just can't appreciate what you're saying. They just can't appreciate what you're trying to tell them, because they just weren't there themselves, you know?
Yeah. Unfortunately, like you were saying before, like back in those days, they had a stigma attached to it where it's a lot more than what it was these days anyway. We're slowly getting away from that. But yeah, like any sort of mention of that sort of topic is marked as a crazy person. So it's sort of fitting as to when you talk to your family and that, they sort of come back here with a really weird response and...
Yeah, a bit of side eye, you know, and yeah,
which is unfortunate, but like, you know, families there sort of try to help you through things, but so it sort of leads me to, like, has your family encountered anything like this, or had any sort of experiences at all?
Well, my family, well, not that anybody has said, right? You know, I guess it's not the sort of thing that's widely talked about. And I can't say that my family have. I can't remember them saying anything about it. I mean, if they did talk about it, I mean, I'd be really, really interested in it, especially because I've had that experience. Just like I said to you, hearing of Kim's experience really sort of struck a chord with me, and I'd be right into it and really trying to understand if they've shared something and that we can associate on that level. But I don't think they have, you know, to be honest.
No, there's a lot of things that go on in this world that we can't really quite understand. And this is definitely one of those moments there where it just leaves you with so many questions of what the hell is going on.
Yeah, it has. And, you know, and I've only really spoken to this, you know, about to a very select, you know, group of people at certain times, and you can just see that they don't really know what to think of it, right? And it's really hard for people to have a comment or an even comment or even put a suggestion as to what it could be. So I guess that goes back to that stigma again a little bit as well. So you know, as I said, I'm glad to be able to express it in this sort of format, you know.
Yeah, no, look, definitely appreciate you coming here, because like, definitely going to be putting it out there to make people realize that these things do happen. You know, there's so much that goes on there. The worst part is, like, you know, I've said this a few times in my other episodes there, the most scariest thing about this whole thing of aliens, and or if they are aliens or whatever, you know, this whole, whatever goes on with the abductions and that, the most scary, crazy, fearful, whatever you want to call it, the most crazy thing about this and that makes it scary is that you have no control over this. If they just want to go and take you, they're going to do it. There's no stopping them. And that's
exactly right. It's that feeling of helplessness, right? And there's nothing that you can do about it. You're sort of on the ride and you can't get off it. Yeah. I think you've expressed it very well. Yeah.
Yeah, people call things like, you know, blood contract, or there might be a family contract and that sort of stuff, where they get continuous abductions and whatnot. And that's another thing, like, people have talked to in the past that they claim it as an agreement with the government or something like that for them to go and experiment on us and whatnot. And it's like, well, why has the government got to sort of allow these beings or whatever they are to come and experiment on us without our consent? Like, that, where's our part going through in there going, hey, look, I don't want this to happen to me, so bugger off.
Yeah, I know. That's, gee whiz. I never really even thought about it like that either, right? I mean, people allowing this to happen. I mean, I was thinking about it as well, that, you know, you only think that this thing happens out in the countryside and you know, out in the boonies and so forth. I was in the middle of suburbia, right? This is just in the middle of a normal street in of a suburb. And that's what, I guess when you look back on it's even more scary, because it could happen anywhere, anytime, right? And yeah.
Well, that's right. And I'm not really sure if it's, well, I don't think there's really been daytime abductions. It's not really something I've really heard of, because I suppose it's probably a bit harder to sort of try and hide their crafts or vehicles or whatever. But it seems to always happen at night time, where, like, when we're most vulnerable.
Yeah, I think so. That's exactly right. I think when you're most vulnerable. Yeah.
Yeah. So have you, like, experienced any of those, like, forms of missing time in the past or anything like that?
Oh, well, nothing that really sort of, I can use as an example of times that missing out. I mean, I've always got the deja vu happening, and I've always had something in my mind. Like, you know, if you can see things happening in the sort of in the future, I'm not saying I'm psychic or anything like that, but your imagination can get really wild. But that's where it becomes the deja vu, because you can actually see it. But, you know, as far as missing time or anything, no, I can't really say that I've had something that I've recalled. Or not saying that it hasn't happened, I just haven't been able to recall it. So, yeah, I mean, my experience, obviously, Anthony, is very, very limited and very short, but it's experience nonetheless, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. It's just sort of trying to, like, track down, like, sort of trying to get an idea of the history there for was like just a one-off sort of thing, or if there might have been some sort of connection that happened in the past, maybe, just to try and rule out any sort of connection, I guess.
Yeah, I think it is. It's just a one-off. It's random. I mean, I guess does things like this, do they really have to have a repeated thing on a repeated person, or is it, you know, there's so many to choose from, I guess, that it could be just completely random. We don't have to, unless they, you know, following test subjects or something like that. There's no reason, I think, that you can't, you know, be involved randomly, or just be in the area. As you said, maybe they were, you know, involved with something else and wanted to subdue me. Who knows?
Yeah, it's sort of a good to, like, if someone does listen to this podcast and go, look, I was in that same area. So if you don't mind, what area was that in Sydney?
Well, it was on the Northern Beaches at Newport, right? And with the with the lights and in the local paper, you know, they said the lights that people saw over the ocean was out at Long Reef. So that's definitely in the vicinity. That's like within, you know, 10 km from where I am, right? So, I mean, it's, you know, that's the thing that melted me. That's the thing that really, really made me think hard, and, you know, that you get that really drop in the stomach when you read about it in the paper the next day. That's like really does your head in, that one. Yeah. So yeah.
Reality hits and realization is just,
oh, yeah, that's bullshit. Right. Yeah, like, you know, you're doubting yourself as it is. And then you read about it, you know, the next day that people have witnessed certain things, or they've seen something like that. And then you've gone through that, you know, very, you know, just a few hours before. That, you know, that you just can't even explain or reconcile with yourself. Yeah, that's exactly, that's when your stomach drops. Yeah.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing when, that sort of, you know, confirms everything that you just doubted yourself on. I suppose it's sort of like a relief at the same time, because you're sort of like, you know, you're not going crazy.
Well, you know, at that time it was like shock. Maybe, you know, you realize that something did happen too. I mean, it's sort of like that shock all over again. I mean, I can see where you're going, that, you know, maybe you think you're not crazy, but, you know, for me, I was like, you know, I was sitting there like with a spoon in my mouth going, oh my God, you know, this is actually real. And, you know, it wasn't imagined, and, you know, there is no doubting myself. So it was that sort of reaction for me at that time.
Yeah, and sort of trying to take it away from the crazy aspect, like these things happen worldwide everywhere, and it's been going on for years. So for people that are going to start thinking they are crazy, it's sort of questionably going, yeah, you're not really that crazy, because these things are happening everywhere. So
I'm sure they are. Absolutely. That there's just too many people that report things that happen to think that it's, you know, that there's some sort of psychosis going around. I definitely think that obviously there's something, and this has stayed with me for all of my life. Right. And will stay with me till I die. I think, you know, that feeling, which is very hard to explain. And that, you know, that thing is just very clear in my mind. I can just see those flashing lights and that random welding flash type thing just bouncing off the walls. And, you know, whenever I think about it, it's quite frightening like that.
Yeah. So just to confirm, that the colours were red and blue, weren't they?
Yeah, red and blue. Yeah. And that's why, like, I thought it was police.
Yeah.
When I woke up, I thought it was a police car down in the street below. But, you know, people confirmed to me, no, there's nothing there. There was no one in there like that at all. And it wasn't just flashing lights. Like, it wasn't a pattern. It seemed completely random. It was, you know, I think back in those days, they didn't have those, like, modern lights that they do have now as well. But even those modern lights, they work to a pattern. They're not just random. I mean, when I say it was just like welding flash, and you know what welding flash is like, it's sort of, you know, it's very, it's just, there's no rhythm or pattern to it at all.
Yeah, it's Yeah, so yeah, I'm trying to explain welding flash to myself now too, but yeah, I understand what you're getting at. It's hard to dismiss a welding flash compared to an actual light or LEDs or anything like that.
Yeah, that's correct.
It's
yeah.
definitely it's sort of like I guess lightning or like you know the, when the power lines short out sort of thing. If people can sort of grasp that, if they're not familiar with
something like that, I welding. Guess. But yeah, but it was just sustained for a period of time. Yeah. That's sort of like, you know, when you see, you know, lights, you know, power lines coming together or something like that. But yeah, but sustained, it just kept on going. It just went and just kept on going. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah, I still think there's something going on there. It wasn't directed at you, but possibly in that area. Like that sort of, to me, it makes a lot of sense on that aspect.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Even though it's still speculation of it, of course, but. Like to just like the fact that you had no visitors coming through, like no sort of, you know, beings or nothing there, but you still had a sense that something was going on. It sort of just leads me that it wasn't you that was getting involved in it.
Yeah, well, it's funny because I did have the sense of other things there. I definitely had a sense that I was not alone. It was like not one but two, but I couldn't see. I couldn't see them, but I just sensed that I wasn't alone there. So, yeah, it could be as you say that, you know, there could be something else happening or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's really hard to explain. It really is, and it's really hard to explain your feelings as well.
Yeah, definitely. Is that the only time you sort of had a feeling of sense that something's around you?
Yeah. Only. At that time, at that incident, it's not as if, you know, I get that a lot, or I look over my shoulder a lot like that. I'm not usually a person that does that. I'm, you know, quite confident in myself, and you know, it was just so spooky, Anthony.
Yeah, definitely. You haven't had any like sort of like thrown into the paranormal side now, but no sort of paranormal events at all in that aspect.
No, I don't believe so. Only like I sort of intimated before, just a little bit of deja vu. But I think everybody has a, you know, that little bit of that sixth sense to understand that things, you know, happen sometimes. I mean, I have that sixth sense of, you know, driving in traffic or something like that. That, you know, self preservation. But certainly. You know, I did definitely feel that there was these presences in the room, and I don't think they did anything to me or anything like that. I just felt that I was not alone, and that's that was half the thing, half the feeling, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough. No, look, there's, I think everyone sort of gets that. Well, people who have had experiences and encounters sort of abductions, that's always been the thing that happens.
It would have been, you know, good if you were around like 20 years ago, Anthony, because it would have been a lot easier to explain. I'm recalling this from memory, but you know, you can tell by the detail that it really has had an effect on me, and it is something that I, you know, it's not easy to forget or not easy to just pass up this sort of thing, you know.
Yeah, it definitely sinks in. It's one of those things you sort of don't really, well, you sort of do forget some aspect, some things, but you. You know, you got some repressed memories there, of course, but which sort of got me to thinking, have you maybe thought about doing repressed memory retrieval? I'm a little bit against it because, like, it's a bit niggly here and there with some of the stuff they do, but might be something to possibly consider.
No, look, it probably could be if I wanted to sort of, you know for sure or something like that, but I haven't really wanted to follow it up, to what end. Would it mean for me? So I haven't really, you know, gone down that road. And once you get into repressed memories, I mean, God knows what you're going to find, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not that I've got any reason to find anything at all, but you know, except for this. But I mean, just I've never really dabbled in it. To be perfectly honest, I sort of moved on.
Yeah, no, it could be something quite scary on the other side of that repressed memory, and you probably like regret it afterwards. But yeah,
no, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah, you know, you don't want to bite off more than you can chew, do you?
No, right? Definitely.
Yeah, I'm just sort of leaving it as it is, Anthony. You know, I you know, as I said, I mean, you know, listening to your podcast and stuff has brought it out. And as I said, I, you know, and your kind offer to come onto your podcast, you know, I felt compelled that I had to tell you about it and just say something to other people to let them know that, you know, they're not alone as well. I mean, half of Kim's issue was, I think, also understanding and reconciling these feelings within himself and coming out with it and actually explain it to people. And I think it's important to know that, you know, for everybody to know that, you know, it's good to get it out and talk about it, you know?
Yeah, the biggest thing too on that is, like, it's a massive emotional sort of,
Well, you're right.
It's very emotional.
It's emotional experience, and it's something that you dealt with a fight or flight sort of, you know, feeling. It's a stress, in a way, isn't it? Right. And you know, your body or your mind, you know, doesn't want to believe it, even though it can see it in front of you. And I guess that you've got to deal with that. But you know, like as I said, I mean, this thing is 20 years on, more than, you know, 25 years on, and you know, I still remember it. You know, it's not something that it's left me. So yeah.
Yeah. So look, mate, like it's one of those things. Like people like yourself come on the show, they're like, I just sit here and just listen to you guys. It's really the people that come on the show, the guests, you yourself and anyone else who does come on the show. You're the guys that do the actual hard yards here and helping people, well, hopefully encouraging other people to come out and talk about their things, their experiences and encounters and whatnots. Because, yeah, like you're saying, like these things sort of do need to come out. And in the end, they sort of feel a bit better, I suppose, a bit relieved that these people or other people have been having other experiences or something sort of relatable. And I guess that sort of jolts a memory sometimes with some people going, hey, I have had something similar to that. Mm. And like, holy shit, like there could be more to what has happened in the past from my memory.
Yeah, well, I hope it, you know, people do get that and they're able to reconcile that, you know, within themselves. But you're right. I mean, it could really jog other people's memories and about what's going on and what's happening with them. But but that's about it, Anthony. I can't really, it's hard to say any more about it. That's the details that I remember, and they're the very specific details of what happened. And even, you know, the emotion fades at you know, due to time, but I can tell you, you know, back when that happened, it was, you know, the freakiest thing I've done. And you know, I've done piloting things, you know, I've flown different aircraft. I used to ride motorcycles in Sydney traffic, and I've done a lot of, you know, crazy stuff. But, you know, that's the thing that sits with you in your mind, you know, when you're laying in bed at night sometimes, you know, these sort of things.
Yeah, a bit of alone time, sitting alone in bed or in the bath, you know, things, life's events just sort of come back to you, don't they? It's sort of annoying in this way how it does that, but
yeah, it sort of recalls, yeah.
It just sneaks up and you're like, I really didn't want to think about that, but anyway.
Yeah, but you know, there it is. And but you know, and then I listen to your podcast and hear about other people's experience, and it doesn't make me feel bad or anything like that. As I said, it made me feel like I wanted to reach out and you know, just see what you had to say about it. It's interesting to get, you know, your perspective as well.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about it, that it could be used as a subduing type thing, and maybe someone else could have been the target or something like that. That never really even crossed my mind. So it's interesting that you bring it up. Obviously, you know, you've heard many more experiences. And so it's great to talk to you about it.
No, mate, look, it's fantastic having you here, mate. It's a, whilst it's not a pure sort of abduction sort of case, it's still something that could very well have been close to being an abduction on that sense.
Yeah.
And I think you just sort of missed out just by the hair, I think.
Well, who knows? Maybe I failed the test or whatever it was or something. I don't know. Maybe they did it what they had to do there. I've got no idea. But it was just totally bizarre.
Yeah, I'm sort of like thinking too, like the presences that you were sort of sensing that were there, they could have been standing there on guard maybe even. It's, again, like a speculation sort of thing, but just never know.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Well, it could be, like, as I said, I couldn't see them. I just felt them around. That's it. Who's to say that, you know, we always think, and it's really funny that we always think about life in outer space and stuff like that as being in a form that we can associate with, like having a head and a body and two arms and two legs and stuff like that. I mean, you look at all of this, but how do we know what that, you know, that form is? And, you know, we talk about life as our interpretation of life. I mean, if you think about it, that it could be very infinite and it could be anything. You know, how do we know that it is a physical form? How do we know it's not something else? I can't really say what that something else is because it's not there. But I'm just trying to open up and say, well, you know, it could be far beyond what we normally think of what these things are.
Yeah, that's sort of one of the questions I was going to lead you just before we start going to the end of the show is like, what do you think these beings or whatever these things are that are controlling these crafts, what do you sort of interpret them as?
Well, you know, I really thought that it's just really, it comes sort of like science fiction if they are humanoid in form. I honestly would expect something that's completely different. I mean, completely different, like another dimension, and maybe that it's very hard for them to actually say expose themselves. Maybe they do have some sort of a cloaking device or something like that if they do have this sort of form. I mean, all I'm trying to say is that just because I haven't seen any figures didn't mean that there was nothing there. I mean, people feel presences around them all the time. And, you know, there's a lot of people that say they feel ghosts or something. What if that's the same sort of thing? Like they're in another dimension or it's another timeline or something like that, but just happened to coincide at that specific point in time or that specific point in space. I mean, I like to sort of think about it as, you know, as it goes beyond, you know, something that has a head, two arms and two legs and a body. I would think that if there was intelligent life out there that would have developed or developed on its own sort of timeline as we have, you know, from fish coming out of the sea. I mean, they've probably done something completely different. So how do we know that, you know, they're not walking among us as it is, but just in another dimension or in another form?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of speculation there where, like over the years, people have done research between UFOs, paranormal and the Yowie sort of thing going on. They sort of feel like there's a bit of a connection between all three. So it's definitely a strong possibility that there is a connection between the paranormal and UFO sort of, or alien dimensional beings and whatnot. So it's again, another speculation and another idea, I suppose. Yeah, absolutely. There's got to be something relatable.
Yeah, I just don't like to. Yeah, I just don't like to put them all in the same box and do it. And you know, you got to have your mind open that you know, there's, as I said, there's many other forms or many other dimensions that you know, we have a four dimension world where we have, you know, height, width, depth, and time. Maybe there is another dimension out there that you know, we can't see or sense, and what we consider as, you know, as life is maybe foreign to other things, or you know, life is a concept, but not necessarily exactly how we imagine it. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah, well, that's another thing, isn't it? We could be like a completely, I don't know, like they say, like the Matrix or something like that, or maybe even just an alien ant farm for the sake of
being existing. Yeah, who knows, right? That's going off in another thing as well. I mean, there's a lot of people that believe we're batteries, don't they, right? But or farmed or something like that. So yeah, I mean, when you're talking about, I don't know, you know, when you're talking about presences or something, and if these things do actually reveal themselves to you, maybe they're putting themselves or projecting some sort of form that we can identify with. You know, that's all I can say. I just don't want to have my mind to consider that it's something that what we consider life is, because it's boundless as far as I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, absolutely agree on that. It's just too many possibilities in this world, and we will never know all those answers of possibilities, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that explains a lot of things also, where, you know, people know and feel and stuff like that. And then people say, well, you know, it's so fantastic that you know, it's very unbelievable. But if you apply that sort of logic to it, then it you know, it makes you think about, well, you know, they're not crazy, or there's no, you know, thing like that at all. I mean, they've just experienced something, and you know, I guess, you know, we have our emotions and our senses, and who's to say that, you know, we're limited to you know, what we can, you know, hear, taste, smell, you know, and see, and so forth. So yeah,
pretty much break the limits of our own limits.
Yeah, well, you know, there's got to be more senses, right? That's all I'm saying. And these, you know, whatever's happening and whatever does happen, because there's so many stories that you hear about it, that they can, you know, well be exploiting these other, you know, as I say, other dimensions or other realms, or, you know, they could be there and hiding in plain sight. You never know.
Yeah, well, people I've talked to in the past there too, it's sort of an idea I've gotten on this as well, that people sort of can see these things where others can't. And I've sort of gotten an idea where they can sort of camouflage, because like we can only perceive like a certain amount of colours. So to them, they might be able to see a lot more colours than what we can, well, sort of thing. And they might be able to camouflage using different colours.
Like infrared, for example, or something, yeah. You know, or some other, you know, that's again another, like another dimension or another thing that we don't or can't see, unless we have some sort of machinery to see it, or some sort of something that can, pardon me, that can measure the you know, measure the life form, or measure the, pardon me, the energy that's there, right?
No, there's a lot to go and sort of try and bring together, but you still won't get a damn answer, which we bloody
well it is. I mean, you know, I've had a long time to think about this, Anthony, and sort of, you know, that we're talking about it again, you know, it brings it all up, and it gets you thinking about, well, you know, why is it that this is it, and so I just like to, you know, just think about, you know, why things happen, and why I did not see this or that or whatever, or what exactly it is. And you know, I'm just, again, trying to bring a little bit of structure to it about what could be or could not be, you know, for those out there listening as well. I mean, you never know. It's, you know, people might hear what I've said and think, well, yeah, that makes a lot of sense and could bring out a lot more stories for you, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It sort of leads me on to think too, people who are having these encounters there, it's not the fact that they exist, but it's more the fact of why they're doing what they're doing. I think that's where people sort of get left behind with that question, like going, well, why? What's the purpose? What are you achieving here? I think that's probably one of the biggest answers I'd like to find out. Like, we already have an idea, or at least know that they have to exist because people are seeing them everywhere, but this is more that unknown answer of why they're doing it.
Well, you know, it's sort of, without going back on everything that I've just said in the last 10 minutes, but, you know, curiosity. If you have a being or some sort of life form, I guess you'd have to imagine that, you know, we start talking about consciousness and what's that. So, Anthony, that goes off in a completely different direction. I understand that. But with that comes curiosity. And I know, I mean, look what we're doing. We're off looking at Mars. We're sending, you know, satellites out to, you know, look at Jupiter and the planets in our own system. We've just launched the James Webb, you know, to look back to the beginning of time, but also to look into other galaxies, you know, and with a view to find, you know, suitable life somewhere else, life as we know it, I guess. So, I mean, if you think that, you know, we have this curiosity, any other energy source or life being, I should say, or something like that, would it be unreasonable for, you know, to say that they don't? And, whether that is malicious or whether that is not, who knows, right? One of the questions to answer as well, yeah.
Yeah, I honestly hope we do find out in this lifetime, just because... Like, especially the people who have been, like, researching it for years and investigating, like, sure, they want answers themselves too. And, like, I feel we deserve answers by the time we sort of get to that stage in our lives anyway.
Well, I think it's amazing. And I think we probably, probably can see and find out those answers when we turn off the light for the last time. Do you know what I mean? I think our brains do something special at that time. So, yeah, maybe that's the release we get then. But, from what you're saying, I mean, I don't know, I think it would freak out a lot of people if that became pretty common knowledge. You know, it'll mean quite a huge adjustment, wouldn't it, you know, to a lot of people, I think. It'll bring a whole lot of new things into play with religion and all sorts of stuff if that happened, wouldn't it?
Oh, definitely. And like the thing is too, like these apparently, like going through the researchers there, like, you know, this thing has been happening for centuries or however long. And the sort of thing that annoys me is like why the secrecy from the government on this sort of concept? Like if this has been happening for thousands of years and we've sort of been worshipping these space gods or whatever and whatnot, why hasn't it continued? Like, why hasn't it stayed obvious to, you know, the known world kind of thing? That's one of my biggest questions on that. It's like, if they did normalize it, we wouldn't know any different. There'll be no sort of going, oh, yeah, look, people are getting abducted and whatnot. And, oh, no, they're not. Government's covering up and whatnot and lying and whatever, you know. But like I was saying, if it was just continued showing themselves, you know, visiting and whatnot, it would have been normalized and we would have been far advanced than what we are today.
Well, probably would be, right? But who's controlling it? Is it us or them? Also, yeah, you're right. I mean, there's been civilizations past and that we've dug it up and there's obviously pictograms and there's obviously evidence that people, you know, whether it's their imagination or whether they're actually recording what happened in those spaces and, you know, of time. I mean, we'll never really know the right answer to that, will we, right? But I guess to answer your question, you know, with the population that we have these days, it's hysteria. There'd always be someone out trying to exploit it, for sure. Being, you know, this the type of people that, you know, humans are. And I guess, you know, you'd have to weigh up that sort of, you know, weigh up the numbers of what, are you going to freak half the people out, or are you going to have half the people trying to use it as a weapon, or whatever, you know? I mean, if the government did know and they're behind it, I mean, I would imagine that if I was someone, I'd just keep it under my hat as well, to be honest. Yeah, not necessarily for negative reasons, but just to keep status quo a bit, I think. That'd always be a bit of a threat, wouldn't it?
Yeah, well, that's true. I think that's the biggest thing at the moment with the Americans. They're sort of slowly bringing out their sort of disclosure. They're trying to say, like, it's not a known threat at this point, but I think they've known for a long time that it's not really a threat. Otherwise, stuff would have happened in the past a lot bigger than what we are getting now. Like, they would have invaded us. Like, you think about, like, World War One, Two, whatever, but even before that, if they really wanted to go on sort of destroy us or take over, they would have done it by now.
Yeah, but you talk about the Americans. What about other countries? I mean, have you done any research about what happens in other countries and what other people would see, or is it all coming from the US? What about, you know, the UK or parts of Europe or something like that? Or, I mean, what have you know, Anthony, about other parts of the world and information that they might have that, you know, because they wouldn't just concentrate in, you know, English speaking areas. That'd be everywhere. It'd be completely random, would it not?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but the thing is, like, with the Americans, there, obviously that's our mainstream, you know, that's where we get all our information from with everything that happens in Australia, basically. We rely so much on the Americans.
True, absolutely, yeah.
So on that aspect, but look, other countries have come out with their own reports of UFOs and that sort of stuff. It's probably not as, I don't know, I guess it doesn't come out as much because obviously, yeah, English speaking. The UK, I think they did bring something out there not too long ago, or it might have been a couple of years ago, I think, in regards to their own sort of thing. But like I said, like we're so reliant on the Americans. I think that's just what everyone just wants to hang off.
Instead of
just like concentrating on the rest of the world, which is
Annoying. There's a lot out there, isn't there, Anthony? And there's a lot out there about, you know, the military and stuff like that that have witnessed things as well, you know, over oceans and what have you, and pilots and so forth, isn't it? But it's, largely from the Americans. Don't get me, I'm not trying to destroy that or anything like that. I'm just trying to understand that you know, for everyone that Americans have seen, there must be, you know, a dozen for other countries as well. So it's actually probably, you know, reasonably prolific. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, that's perfectly fine, mate. I think a lot of people do forget that too, like, you know, there is a broader world than just the Americans themselves. So, like, the people that don't really sort of dive right into this sort of topic, they sort of miss out on the whole rest of the world aspect, unless, like, you actually really try and look for it yourself. And so, again, we're just hanging off the Americans on their stuff.
Yeah, well, you've got me intrigued a lot more now. I might even look into it a bit more. Gee, it's been a great conversation, Anthony.
Yeah, no, look, there's a whole...
I think it's opened up a few more worms than I even thought. You know, just explaining to, you know, what happened to me and then hypothesizing about, you know, what these are and what their, you know, their intentions may be. It can't be really bad, otherwise we'd know about it, I think.
Yeah, so, I'm not sure if you listen to the episode hasn't released yet, but I'm not sure if you join us on the live stream with Jane Pooley. She's She's experienced, like, a constant experiencer. There's a term for that. I can't think of it now for some stupid reason.
All right.
But she's had a lot of experiences there, being abducted and whatnot, and sort of on friendly terms, to say the least.
All right.
So, in her explanation on the whole, this isn't to say, like, every species, like, I don't know how many species there are, whatnot, but the ones that she sort of dealt with, they're trying to recover their species, so they're sort of hybridizing with the human race and their race to sort of adapt to our environment on the Earth.
That makes sense. To make a hybrid, so to speak.
To what, sorry?
to make a hybrid sort of race, like, or just to adapt here?
Yeah, just for their species to adapt and live here. Oh, so that's, yeah. So it could, like, it could be a sort of an underground invasion that we have no idea by doing that sort of hybridization and, you know, invading from behind doors, whatever. But, you know,
crikey,
it's
yeah, that's enough to think about it, isn't it? And you talk about different species as well. You're not just talking about one set. You're talking about a whole, like, different groups. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, a lot of people have a lot of claims there. Like, you know, you got the reptilians, the Pleiadians, or whatever they're called, and insectoids and whatnot. It's like, yeah, then obviously you got the greys and whatever, and it's a whole world aspect of different things going on that people have had experience with, and it's just so much to sort of try and get a grasp on of, like, how much is actually going on behind these closed doors.
Yeah, it is, and the fact that so many people have actually seen these things as well. Again, not trying to contradict myself, but, you know, there's been too many stories of people seeing very similar things, isn't it? So that, you know, when you talk about greys and you talk about reptilians and stuff like that as well. Wow.
Yeah. Yep. There's a, it's a whole
can. No, no. You're just, you know, you're blowing my mind a little bit, Anthony. It's, you're getting me thinking of it, you know, now as well.
Yeah. No, look, I'm sorry to have to do that to you, mate, but yeah, it's a, it's a massive word out there and what's going on. It's, yeah, mind-boggling. I can't
it makes you it just really makes you want to get to the bottom of it as well, and you know, just really understand what's going on there. So yeah, I mean, it's just one of these great mysteries. But look, I'll be looking out for your next podcast of Jane Pooley. You've intrigued me. I'd like to really listen to what she has to say.
Yeah, no, absolutely wonderful lady there. You can actually go and listen to it through on the page if you can find it on there with if you can't wait. But all the live episodes are on the page there. So if you can't wait to sort of till it gets on the actual podcast channels, then get on it, guys.
If you've done several before, I'll certainly lock into those ones. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
No worries. I was listening
to one last night, actually. It could have been. Let me bring it up.
But mate, if there's nothing else you want to sort of add to it, mate, we'll sort of finish it there. And
Sure.
Is there anything else you want to sort of add?
There's not much I really want to add. So thanks very much, and thanks very much for your time, and I appreciate your patience. And I know my story wasn't as long as others, but you know, as I said, you know, it's an experience that I just wanted to get out there, and I wanted, you know, to share.
No, that's fine, mate. That's great having you on here, mate. Because like, you definitely threw a different perspective on the whole experiences thing. Because like, you know, like I said, people were experiencing abductions, and they either go missing for a while, or they might see beings and whatnots, and have sort of flashbacks of being on a craft and whatnot. Whereas you're sort of just sat there and just
observed.
Yeah.
You know, who knows what they were doing, but I didn't feel any of it. I didn't sort of recognize all of it. And you know, when you're awake but you're not awake, it's bizarre. It's a bizarre sort of sensation. And like, it's, you're in an alternate sort of, I guess, an alternate sort of consciousness, I guess, and sort of blanked. So it is bizarre. So yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like you're sitting on the sidelines there just watching the gameplay without watching the actual game.
Yeah, it sort of feels like that a little bit, yeah.
So, no, but look, mate, thanks again for coming on the show, mate. It's absolutely fantastic having you on here. Definitely hopefully encourage other people to sort of come out and reach out and talk about their experiences as well, mate. So kudos to you there, mate, for coming on and doing your part.
It's been a pleasure, and it's great to talk about it. Thank you very much.
No worries, mate. Thank you again for coming on the show, mate. Talk to you soon.
All right, cheers. Bye.
Cheers, mate. And that will do it, folks, for this episode of Encounters Down Under. I hope you enjoyed the show, and remember, you can also get involved in the show by joining the Facebook page and getting in on the live streams. Also, please be sure to share with your friends and family to help us grow and potentially find our next guest on the show. If you or you know someone who has had an encounter, please get in touch with me through our Facebook page via Messenger or email at australianufosightings@outlook.com.au. I look forward to seeing you on the next Encounter Down Under. Hooroo!
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.